Robbie and Rex Road with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Elijah Campbell and the great Max Herz on this Christmas Eve morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. With that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders. Chris, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I was asleep, man. I was watching Judge Judy, but then I woke up and said, man, I got to get on the show. That's what was it.
We appreciate
How's
that.
How's it going, man?
Chris, hey, I've been told you have an announcement to make.
Yeah, man, I hate to say this, and it just burns my heart, but Jarrett was right. He said that the Tennessee Titans were going to beat the 49ers, and, you know, I was talking to him this morning, and he was like, man, you couldn't believe it, but Jared was right, and I hate to say it.
I hate to say that too, but he was right about that.
Oh, wow. He's never right. That's why I'm upset. He's never right.
I'm interested to hear his thoughts on Tannehill today as well.
Doesn't like Tannehill.
That's right. So, Chris, what did you think of that one last night for the Titans? Obviously, it looked rough in the first half. AJ Brown dominates the second half. That's a huge win for this group. Overall, what did you think of the game last night?
You know, it was a weird game. I mean, the first half, it looked like the Tennessee Titans were going to get blown out. But let me tell you something about this team. This team has so much heart. I mean, they had the left tackle was out, the left guard was out. All eyes were against them. Everybody saying there's no possible way they can beat the 49ers. And they found a way to beat these guys. I mean, let me tell you something. That front four was pretty good, and Ayuk was good, and Deebo Samuels and Garoppolo, they're a pretty good team. But for the Tennessee Titans to slip up and beat these guys, man, I'm so proud to be a part of that organization.
Chris, what did you think of A.J. Brown specifically? Obviously, I mean, it was pretty clear what the game plan was in the second half, and that was to get him the ball as quickly as possible. What did you think of number 11's performance last night?
Man, let me tell you something. That dude has a lot of heart. I mean, you can tell at the beginning of the game when he was running a couple of plays, he was struggling a little bit. You know, even the announcers were saying, well, he doesn't look the same. But something clicked to where he's like, man, there's nobody out here who can cover me. I mean, he was catching passes, you know, the jump ball that he made in the game, and he just was one of those guys that just impacted the whole game. We always say this term all the time, big players make big plays in big games, and that's exactly what he did. He's a big player, and he made big plays in a big game.
We're talking to forever Titans legend and
man,
number
you make
one
me sound
Judge
old,
Judy.
Man. You sound like I'm 50 and China with no teeth.
Yeah, well, forever is a long time. So, I mean, I guess that you can insinuate that.
That's true.
But and also, you're the only person to ever say I look like Conway Twitty as well. So.
No, you,
I had to throw that out there.
No,
the only person.
No. I said Billy Joel, man.
Okay. That's right. Now we're a little bit closer right now to the accuracy. But Chris, watching the game last night, Julio Jones, outside of his one catch for 7 yards, wasn't really a factor. The hamstring doesn't appear to be 100%. And I guess my biggest question is now, as I hit the microphone, we talked about this in the last segment, is, like, can he get his explosiveness back? He's been in the league 10 full years, year 11.
Right.
He's 32. I mean, you could say his athletic prime is behind him. And with a nagging injury like this, like, what's your confidence level that he can at least gain – you know, even a third of that kind of explosiveness that he had in Atlanta?
I mean, we're going to need him. I mean, we're definitely going to need him, especially with A.J. Brown having a big game like that. You better believe he's going to, you know, get some attention. They're going to try to stop him. But the only thing that I'm concerned about, if this was an ankle or a knee, I could say, okay, he can come back. But when you're dealing with a hamstring situation, it's tough to come back from. And if it's low, you can kind of come back, but it's high by the buttocks, because that's where a lot of your explosiveness comes from. And if you look, you know, I think it was maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago, he ran a D route, and in his mind he's thinking, okay, I feel good because it felt good that I can open up. But then you watch him, he doesn't practice, and then he comes in the game, and you never really see him open up, because I think he's kind of afraid to really open up and run a D route, because you get it in your mind and you get it in your thinking process that if I actually try to go after ball, if I actually try to extend and try to get it, then that hamstring is going to give away again, and you just don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I guess. And as a player too, I mean, how, like, what are those conversations with coaches like? I mean, does he tell them before it's like, hey, this thing's not 100%. I don't trust it to go down the field right now. Like what's that conversation like with a position coach or with the head coach when you're in warmups and you can just kind of tell that like it's not there that day?
You know, we as competitors, we lie. And when I say we lie, is the coach is like, oh, you're doing good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, you know, your arm fall off, your other arm off. They're like, can you catch the ball? Yeah. I mean, we're just wired like that because we're so competitive and we want to win. I don't think Julio Jones is going to be like, well, I don't feel good. And, you know, I don't think I could run the D route. No, because he's a guy that wants to compete. He's the guy who wants to win. He's the guy to say, you know what, in spite of how I feel, my mind is telling me that I can make the play. But even though your mind is telling you you can make the play, your body's not allowing you to do that. So I think sometimes in me, I'm going to lie to the coach. Oh, coach, I'm doing good because I know that if you put me in position, I'm going to do my best and everything to make a play.
Chris Sanders on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Chris, there's a play last night that I think A.J. Brown made that's going to go unnoticed. And, you know, there's the block. There's that one, and there's this clear-out route, too, where Anthony Ferkser picks up the big first down. A.J. just sprints down the middle of the field, takes three guys with him. As a former receiver, just what kind of goes into that play to make sure you're running that route correctly, and how important is it to be able to have a guy that attracts that much attention on a clear-out route?
Oh, I mean, it's awesome. But here's what's the special part about the whole situation is, yes, he caught a lot of balls, but he's unselfish.
Yep.
I mean, because if he doesn't run those couple of guys off, Ferkser never gets open. I mean, it's a concept route, it's a D route, and then that's when Ferkser gets open. But that just shows you the unselfishness of this guy. And I'm going to tell you this, too, that if he's loafing on that play, the corner and the safety are going to come off and they're going to smack Ferkser in the mouth. But him being unselfish, him putting the team in front of himself, say, you know what, I may be tired, my chest might be burning, but I'm going to run as fast as I can, like Usain Bolt, to make sure somebody else catches the ball. And that just shows you what kind of guy this is, what kind of person that he is. I mean, just watching him yesterday at the podium, he just looked like a little kid in a candy store. He just wanted to play. He wanted to be out there with his teammates. He put it on his Twitter that I miss football. So when you have a guy that misses football, a guy who wants to make plays, a guy who wants to be out there for his teammates, he's going to do everything in his power to say, you know what, if I have to run a clear route and don't get the ball and somebody else catches it, so be it. That's the kind of teammate that I am, and that's why this guy is special.
Chris, I'm interested to get your thoughts on, you know, we hear the term Vrabel special get thrown out there, and it seems like every time this team has their back against the wall or they're the underdog in the game, they come out with a performance and they win. They do it again last night. You know, it doesn't happen every time. I mean, it was kind of a similar situation with the Patriots game, and they got thumped in that game. But it happens a lot. Like, how is Mike Vrabel able to continually do this with this group?
You know, he's built like that. It's in his DNA. And I'm going to tell you why. When you go through adversity, when you go through trials and tribulation, it builds something in you. And I'm going to tell you why. When I went to The Ohio State University, I met Mike Vrabel, you know, at Ohio State. We played together. But everybody said he was slow. Everybody said he can't move. They said he'll never amount to anything. And all of a sudden, he makes All Big Ten. And then they even say above that, say he'll never make it in the pros and this and that. He goes to the Patriots and wins championships. Then now he gets to, the Tennessee Titans. They say, well, he's too young of a head coach. All these things, all these odds against him, but he overcame all the adversity. So now if that's in your DNA, you're taking your DNA and you're extracting into your players and say, you know what, whatever adversity we go through, whatever situation, impossible situation we go through, we're going to make it through this. The reason why we're going to make it through this is because we're built for this. This man is built for this. I mean, I watch his body language, you know, at the podium last week when they just got embarrassed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. His attitude never wavered. He never wavered in, well, it was his fault, or we got to do it. They got to, this single person's got to do that. He said, we got to get better. We as a coaching staff, we as an organization, we as players, if we just all just keep buying in, we're going to overcome this adversity. And we saw a product of that last night.
Talking to number one Judge Judy fan, Chris Sanders.
Oh, she's
here.
Cute too, man. Fine.
She's still got it.
She is cute. She's got a mustache though, so she's still cute.
That makes two of us. Chris, going back to the offense too, Ryan Tannehill, certainly, and obviously it helps to have your number one weapon back out on the field with you, but Ryan Tannehill looked so much more comfortable last night with A.J. Brown there. You can tell that there's like this next level familiarity between the two of them, and I referred to the touchdown they scored in the second half as a chemistry touchdown. Like, he put that ball where he knew A.J. Brown was going to be. Like, their timing together is really, really good. But how much does just the presence of A.J. Brown elevate the play of Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, it's just your confidence. If you just watch the whole game, which we did, when he throws a couple of passes to A.J. Brown, his confidence is building each and every play. And that pass that he threw in the end zone to A.J. Brown, that was a laser. But if he would have did that without if he didn't have A.J. Brown and he tried to throw that pass a couple of weeks ago, I don't think he would have made that throw. But the reason why he made that throw is because he has one of his weapons out there and it builds a little confidence. And here's the crazy part about the whole situation. A.J. Brown caught 11 passes for 145 yards and one TD, but 8 of those passes were on for first down. So when you're catching 8 passes, you know, it translated to first downs, it shows you that he has a total trust, total confidence, and total faith that A.J. Brown is going to be in the spot that he's supposed to be. And if you look at maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and this is no disrespect and no knock on another receiver, but it's Fitzpatrick, when he runs a curl route against the Houston Texans and he doesn't come back to the ball, you lose your confidence not just in yourself as a quarterback, but you lose your confidence in a player. So now you have A.J. Brown. When A.J. Brown ran the out route, he knew he was going to be there with 2 guys on a boom. When he ran the curl route and sat in the zone, he threw it to a spot because he knew that A.J. Brown was in there. So when you have a guy that you know is going to be there, your confidence is going to shoot up really, really big.
And for the offense, too, it was definitely a tale of two halves. I mean, only 55 total yards in the first half, and really, the attitude and the vitriol, you know, towards Todd Downing's play calling was pretty high. And of course, you know, in the second half, you know, they finally started targeting A.J. Brown more. The offense picked it up, and they had, you know, 200 plus yards of total offense in the second half alone. But today, we've kind of had a little bit of a survey, I guess, on the text line and, you know, through Titans Twitter of the performance of Todd Downing. How would you grade Coach Downing's performance last night in terms of play calling, and then what kind of adjustments did you see from the offense from like a play calling perspective that resulted in them actually starting to move the ball a little bit?
Yeah, I think sometimes people gotta, you know, kind of understand kind of the situation, what's going on. You know, when you're behind the chains a lot, I mean, they're 3rd and 22, 3rd and 26, 3rd and 14, 3rd and 15. There's only so many plays you can run. So, you know, I know the crowd was kind of getting impatient when or having a little boo birds coming out when it was 3rd and 20 and he runs a screen or he runs the ball or runs a draw. The reason why he's running those plays is because there's not too many things when it's 3rd and 26. But once he stayed in front of the chains, then now he can operate. He started to throw it to A.J. Brown. He started to run the ball with Foreman, and Hillard has some great passes or some great runs. So it's just getting a feel of the game. So I think my grade I give for him is maybe a C plus, B minus. I mean, there's still some things he needs to improve. I think they need to be better on first down and stand in front of the chains. But other than that, you can tell the adjustments that they made in the second half was, okay, I don't care what they're doing, we throwing the ball to A.J. Brown. And me and Ray Charles can see that. So he did that, and they made the plays. They adjusted. Let's go get this ball game.
Well, Chris, we really appreciate you taking time for joining us this morning. Hope you have a Merry Christmas, my friend.
Man, please, did you give me something for Christmas, man?
Oh, yeah, I got you something. It's in the mail.
Same thing you got me last year, right?
That's right.
I appreciate you.
At least I'm consistent.
Thanks, guys.
That's right. Chris Sanders.
Thanks, Chris.
Our guest.
All right, guys.
Here on Robbie and Rex Road, forever Titans wide receiver. Good stuff.
Man's a legend.
He is a legend.
Man's a legend and is single-handedly keeping Judge Judy in business by watching, tuning in every day. He is a loyal, loyal fan. Find someone to be as loyal to you the way Chris Sanders is to watching Judge Judy on a weekly basis.
You know, I never really put together the Elijah Campbell, Conway Twitty mashup there, but I got to say, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Doesn't Conway Twitty live in Hendersonville, Robbie?
Yeah, man.
Nice little street named after him up there on Old Hickory.
Hendersonville legend, Conway Twitty.
That's right. The only time I've ever received that comparison.
He has been dead since 1993, but yes, he was around there in Hendersonville for a long time. So there you go. We'll come back, take more of your thoughts on the Titans, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on our text line. And as Elijah tries to compose himself on the other side, we'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
1025 The Game and Cromwell Media are teaming up with Souls for Souls this holiday season for Souls for Music City.
Thank you to everyone who's helping us.
Every $20 donation equals a brand new pair of athletic shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Log on to thegamenashville.com/shoes to learn more on how you can help bring a smile to a child's face at a time of need. Souls for Music City is brought to you by Newton Motor Group.
Thank you so much.
Closer, bolder, golden. Nashville SC State.
356-96. 877-233-5696.
Hey Nashville, Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee here, inviting you to tune in on ESPN 94.9 every Monday at 6 p.m. for the Commodore Hour, providing you with exclusive insights on Vanderbilt athletics.
Hey Nashville, this is new Vanderbilt head coach Jerry Stackhouse. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
There's a lot of ways of saying what I want to say to you. There's songs and poems and promises.
Oh, yes.
And dreams.
The beautiful dulcet tones of Conway Twitty.
Well, rest in peace.
Back in here today on Robbie sky. And Rex Road. The doppelganger of Elijah Campbell, apparently.
Allegedly. I don't know where he got that one from, but it makes me laugh every time I think of that Chris Sanders interaction.
Hey, man. You could be called a lot worse.
I could be. I've been called Ty Sambrillo. I've been confused as Ty Sambrillo on the text line before for someone who was watching when I filled. So I filled it for you in August.
Yes.
And I was sitting here with Joe, and someone on the stream commented. He says, "Is that Ty Sambrillo?" And I was like,
"Yes, it is."
Yeah, sure. First time I've ever been mistaken for an NFL yes. offensive lineman.
Left tackle. Yes. Thank you. I do have a little bit of a, you know, Adam Morrison vibe.
Oh, see, Adam Morrison, that's yeah. the lifelong doppelganger. I grew my hair out in sixth grade in 2006 so I could look like Adam Morrison when I played basketball.
Mission accomplished.
Now as an adult, now I can grow facial hair. I complete the look, you know, and now we've come full circle.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We do have some Free Beer Friday action to give away as well. It is Free Beer Friday, served up by Joyland in East Nashville. Text in the keyword JOY to the game line right now at 615-737-1025. That's JOY to 615-737-1025. And be qualified to win a JOY beer and Joyland's new Smashburger Deluxe as well. Free Beer Friday brought to you by Joyland in East Nashville. We've already given away a couple of those on the show, and we're all in the Christmas spirit today.
That's right. It's the season of giving.
That's
and
right.
Like we said earlier, free beer is the gift that keeps on giving for any of your holiday scenarios you might be in.
Ron texting in says, Mike Vrabel definitely deserves coach of the year with what he's done with his team and the injuries as well. What do you think about that, Mike Vrabel, in terms of coach of the year in the NFL?
I think he should be a finalist if we're doing the, like, you know, Heisman style where we have, you know, our finalists every year. I think Cliff Kingsbury is getting awfully close to coaching himself outside of the finalist of Coach of the Year.
Like, if you lose to the Lions, I say this, and knowing full well the Titans have lost to the Jets and the Texans, but it kind of does feel like if you lose to the Lions, just based on the 50-year history of that.
Yeah, in that manner. It wasn't just like
they got dominated.
Beat by the Lions. Man Campbell drop-kicked that team. It was never close. I mean, you made history to be the only 10-plus win team to lose to a team that had one win or fewer in the regular season. That's not great company. A company of one in that category, in a bad category, is not a place you want to be. And
it is not.
That's the weird thing with Cliff Kingsbury, too, is like we've seen this the last couple of years with the Cardinals, or especially last year, where they start off really hot. Kyler Murray and that offense looks incredible, and they crash and burn the second half of the year. I mean, I don't know what it is about the second half of every season where the Cardinals just look pedestrian. They are the most fun team in the NFL for the first 8 to 9 weeks of the year, and then they just violently come back down to earth. And a lot of that has to be on coaching. Kingsbury was kind of, not, I don't say on the hot seat, but that was like the biggest knock on him was he can't manage time well, and that he coaches his team out of games sometimes, regardless of how good his offensive scheme is. sometimes he can coach the Cardinals out of games. And that's something we've heard from people that are inside the Arizona market. So I think Kingsbury's getting close to coaching himself out of it. I don't know if I can think of many other coaches outside of like Bill Belichick who I think you should consider in that as well.
Yeah, I mean, Belichick is the one that's gotten a lot of love as of late. Now, I'm interested.
Betting like, favorite.
How do they finish the season? That's going to be a part of that. You know, you've got Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. They're 11-3, but, I mean, they were kind of expected to be near the top of the NFC. So
right.
Sometimes that drives me nuts. We're like, oh, you did a really good job, but we thought you'd do a good job, so you don't get Coach of the Year. Like, that drives me nuts sometimes. Still a pretty good job. But, yeah, I mean, Mike Vrabel, to me, he's got to be on the list. And just from the injuries alone, like, you lost your best player. We've talked ad nauseum about, you know, the amount of players this team has had to use. If they end up going 12-5, which I now think is pretty likely at this point.
It's very likely.
Especially if they get the one seed. Like, to me, he's got to win Coach of the Year.
The toughest test now is the 7-7 Dolphins. Yeah. That's like your biggest obstacle to being 12-5, you know. In terms of, like, adversity, the Titans and Ravens are up there in terms of, sure, like, similar hands dealt with losing, like, impactful players. Like, so I'll put John Harbaugh up there as well, just because, like, I mean, winning games without your MVP caliber quarterback is tough, and they almost messed around and beat the Packers with Tyler Huntley at quarterback, who might earn himself a spot on a roster again.
Yep.
You know, somewhere. Like, that's been a revelation for the Ravens, and that's a team that before the year lost their entire running back group. You know, that was amazing how you lose an entire position group that's that important to their offense, the way they like to run the ball, and they're still in a position to win the division, even though they're outside the playoff picture right now, because that's the AFC for you, as the whole conference has cannibalized itself to the point where you can be 8-6 and be outside of the playoff picture, but also be within half a game of winning your division.
What do you think of this Titans defense? Obviously, some big plays made yesterday. They get a couple of picks, a couple of big sacks in the game. I continue to be amazed that, you know, the conversation heading into this season was, man, Titans defense will probably be better because it can't be a whole lot worse than it was a year ago. But now, like, I don't really think there's any question about it anymore. Like, to me, at least until Derrick Henry comes back, the defense is unquestionably, in my mind, the strength of this team. Which I knew the defense would be better this year. I didn't think we'd ever get to a point where we're talking about the strength of the team and the reason that they're winning a lot of games is their defense. But I think this is where they are. Albeit, you know, last night you get shelled on your first drive. I thought they responded pretty nicely after that.
Oh, yeah. They made adjustments. And that's one thing that last year's defense didn't do very well. Last year's defense was a defense that on 3rd and 17, you still worried if the team was going to pick it up. I think Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers offense converted multiple 3rd and 10 pluses in that game. And that's how they end up losing that game. And that problem got worse as the year went on. And I'm kind of in the same boat where I didn't think it would be as bad as last year, because I don't know if it could have gotten worse, especially from a pass rush perspective. I mean, you almost surpassed your sack totals after not even half the year this year as you did last year. I mean, you were historically bad as a pass rush unit as it relates to playoff teams. This year, that's one of the strengths of the defense. Harold Landry has been an awesome revelation for this team and how he's been able to contribute. Bud Dupree took a while. It took a while for him to trust that ACL again. He's been on the record to say, it's like, maybe I pushed myself. I was too stubborn. I pushed myself back to come back a little too early. And by doing that, he set himself back a little bit. But he looks like he's in his best form right now. I mean, this is the Bud Dupree that you got. He got a sack last night. He had a sack against Pittsburgh. He's now looking like the Bud Dupree that you signed in the offseason that you thought you were going to get even earlier on. But the way Denico Autry's played all year, the way Harold Landry's played all year, the way the rest of that defensive line, even Jeffrey Simmons in terms of getting to the quarterback, not a lot of interior defensive linemen, not named Aaron Donald, get to the quarterback like Jeffrey Simmons can get to the quarterback. Given the addition of Bud Dupree playing like he is right now, I expect the defense to get better. I think you have to feel encouraged that they've played this way now before you got this version of Bud Dupree. Now that you have this version of Bud Dupree, I mean, you got to feel confident that 20 points will win you almost any ball game from here on out.
Yeah, and you know, Bud Dupree, I think we're starting to see it a little bit more, and I brought this up with Rexroad earlier. You know, I feel like as he was getting healthier earlier in the season and recovering from the ACL, you started to see it before the abdominal injury came about, where he was, you know, the numbers weren't always there and the sacks weren't always there, but he was impacting the way that this defense was able to be effective. Now, it looks like the knee is healed at this point and that he's over the abdominal injury. Like, there were a couple of snaps last night where I just thought he was really dynamic. And, you know, we'll see about Harold Landry. I thought Jarrell brought up a good point earlier. He doesn't look quite as explosive the last couple of weeks as he's looked for the most part this season. But if this is the version of Bud Dupree that you're going to see coming down the stretch and he's going to continue to build on that, that's a pretty good spot to be in, because obviously you're paying that guy a ton of money to come in here and produce. I mean, he's getting paid more than $16 million. It's nice to see him kind of seemingly rounding into form as the playoffs are coming around, because he's the type of player that if he's on, he can make some big plays in big moments in playoff games that could ultimately help decide games. And Bud Dupree, I thought, was really good last night.
Well, that's the thing, too. You're going to be playing elite quarterbacks the deeper you get into the AFC playoffs, right? I mean, you might have to go through Patrick Mahomes. What's the best way to get to Patrick Mahomes? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers showed you their kryptonite, and that is by exploiting their offensive line. Offensive line for the Chiefs have gotten better as the years gone along, but when you pressure Pat Mahomes, don't give him time to throw, he can look pedestrian, especially when his receivers don't help him out. A lot of quarterbacks are that way. And like in the NFL, to win and advance in the playoffs, you have to have that. Lamar Jackson was way too comfortable in the playoff game last year in the pocket. And then in the second half, picked him apart when it mattered to eventually win that game. I know the Titans defense had one of their better games that afternoon, but if you still can't get pressure on Lamar Jackson, he is going to do some damage, whether it be through the air or with his legs. You got to be able to pressure quarterbacks, and that's one of the reasons why the Titans defense was able to get picked apart on 3rd and 15. That's why you couldn't feel comfortable that they were going to get stops on third down, that they had one of the worst third down conversion rates in the league last year. This year, I think they're number 10. They're a top 10 third down defense. And that kind of jump is massive. And that makes a world of difference, too. That and turning other teams over. And you saw the difference between when the Titans win the turnover battle, when they don't. We talked about the importance of it on offense and how it costs them the Steelers game. The adverse effect is true on defense. If you're forcing those turnovers, and if your offense isn't doing very well, the best thing you can do is get them the ball at or near the 50 or in the opponent's territory. That way you don't have to sustain some long 85-yard 15-play drive that might result in a field goal, Iowa Hawkeye style, and rely on that to win football games. And that the reason this defense being this good has been the reason the Titans have been able to withstand the amount of injury problems they've had on offense. And with Mike Vrabel having his hand a little bit in the defense with Shane Bowen is another reason you can clamor for Mike Vrabel to be the coach of the year.
By the way, some news on the Titans front, announcing Taylor Lewan is now on the COVID-19 list. So Des Fitzpatrick coming off the COVID list, Taylor Lewan on the list. Now, he missed the game last night due to a back injury. You know, you're talking about a Thursday night game. He's on the COVID list today, which is Friday. It's still 9 days away for the next time they play. So, I mean, my guess is, obviously, I'm not a doctor, don't know. My guess is he'll probably be available when Sunday comes around from a COVID standpoint. Now, with, you know, the back, who knows? I mean, you start talking about back injuries.
That's the bigger issue here, sure.
That's not a good place to be. But news on that front, Taylor Lewan on the COVID-19 list. So you're talking about Kendall Lamb, now Taylor Lewan, Elijah Molden earlier this week on the COVID-19 list. Starting to flare up a little bit around the Titans locker room.
A little bit, and this is where it's going to be interesting to see who's going to be available for next week, because that's the crazy thing about this, right? Like, a couple days ago, Hawaii was preparing to play Memphis in a bowl game that was going to take place today, and they had to cancel yesterday because that's when the positives showed up. We're 9 days away from the game. I think that you'll probably have everybody back by then. I think it won't take more than 9 days to clear Taylor Lewan and Kendall Lamb and Elijah Molden from COVID protocol. But the unknown variable here is who's going in by that point, and at what point in the week are they going in?
Well, you know, you've got Christmas this weekend too, man. You know, we heard Vrabel talk about it earlier. He's like, you know, he wants his team to go and enjoy Christmas and be around family and to be able to enjoy this weekend while also being, I think in his words, as safe as possible, to try to be as healthy as possible when you come back. So that's kind of the interesting part about this weekend as a whole, in terms of not only the NFL with, you know, bowl games coming up, the college football playoff is next week.
Oh,
you know, they've got players going home for Christmas. It's going to be interesting to see what this next week looks like in the world of sports.
And with a New Year's Eve college football playoff matchup, and with the announcement that college football playoff games can get canceled and will not be rescheduled, unless they change protocols, I think we there's an opening for an end to someone's season that is undeserved. And I'll put it that way. That'd be very unfortunate. That's how Alabama or Cincinnati, Georgia, Michigan season ends up ending, you know, and that looks like a real possibility. Now, the NCAA has kind of established that we're not rescheduling these games. We'll reschedule the championship game up until the 14th, but the college football playoff games will be played on New Year's Eve, and they'll be played with teams that are only healthy.
Adam in Portland texting in says, bro, Conway Twitty was the Adam Levine of his day. The ladies loved him. Take the compliment and run with it.
Yes. Okay. I've only seen like three Conway Twitty pictures ever, and if it's a if it's a compliment, then I'll take it. If he was the Adam Levine of the 70s,
I don't know about that.
Good looking fella. I don't think he looks like me, but I want to take the compliment. I've heard like maybe two songs of his ever growing up, but I'll take it as a compliment.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and their big win against the 49ers on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Robbie Stanley, Elijah Campbell, Max Herz here with you. Stillman & Company coming up at 12 o'clock. So some different times today. We've been on since 8 o'clock. We'll be on until noon. Stillman & Company from 12 to 4 today here on 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back to wrap up the show coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Elijah Campbell, Max Herz here with you on this Friday morning. Stillman & Company coming up next from noon to 4 today. It's gonna be Fireball Hot Take Friday for Jared, so that'll be quite something.
After the game last night, I'm interested to hear what the hot takes are.
I am.
Usually, the take quakes are a little stronger after losses, but
they are.
It's about to be everything on that show. I'm very excited.
Yes,
it's Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Titans Monday on a Friday. It's Chad Withrow Day.
There's a lot going on.
It's everything you could ever ask for with Jared and Caroline.
This day wears many hats.
That's right.
On that show,
Tommy texting into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I feel like Jim Schwartz is the genius behind our defense, but doesn't get recognized. Our defense is tough, and you never hear about him. I think people are way too quick to give credit to Jim Schwartz, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't think that.
Yeah.
I don't think that Jim Schwartz is doing really all that much. I mean,
he's the recognizable name on the staff.
He's there. I'm sure. Look, we know this. Jim Schwartz is very good coach in this league, very good defensive coordinator. I'm sure that he has helped. But I think a lot of this is, number one, the personnel they have. Number two, I think Vrabel and Shane Bowen have done a really good job. And, you know,
because like
I'm sure that Jim Schwartz has helped. I don't know that Jim Schwartz is the driving force behind this defense.
Yeah, his role probably doesn't stretch out to the importance of like the one that the defensive coordinator has or with Mike Vrabel's. Do I think it's probably helped a little bit? Sure. I mean, having more eyes in there, too, that aren't trying to control things, and you're getting feedback, like he's basically like an advisor.
Sure.
You know, that's kind of the role he's in. I'm sure that helps, and I'm sure when you're going through a defensive game plan throughout the week that it's you filter out bad ideas by having someone with maybe a little bit of veto power in there. You know, I don't think that's like the reason this defense has made the jump. I think he gets an adequate amount of credit. I just think it's easier to give him more because he wasn't here last year. He's here this year. He's Jim Schwartz. I feel like it's an easy, you know, connection to make. But personally, I think that Shane Bowen deserves a lot of this credit because he's also been given the free reign. You know, like on Darren Donick and Chase, we talk about this all the time. Is what did the title mean to Shane Bowen? Mike Vrabel wouldn't talk about the title meaning much, and he was kind of like would scoff at the idea that him being the defensive coordinator in title would make it better, and I feel like it has. I feel like there's a different confidence, even within the coaching staff, that might not have been there last year. And the personnel definitely helps, too.
Terry, texting in, says the addition of Zach Cunningham is an added blessing as well. Zach Cunningham, he's been pretty good. I like what I see from Zach Cunningham. He's very physical. I mean, he ends up with four tackles last night, including one tackle for loss. So it's not like, you know, he looked like an all-pro out there last night or anything. But, look, I mean, the guy can play. He's got good instincts.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the intriguing question with him is certainly, you know, what can he do right now this year to help this group? But also, you know, with the amount of money he's making, is he going to be here next year? Like, that to me is really interesting. I think it's pretty obvious mm-hmm. that Vrabel likes him, and Vrabel talked about him again today here at his press conference. He's a really good player. I've been impressed by what we've seen from Zach Cunningham so far. I'm interested to see what that means in what was already a locker room where you're going to have to make a ton of decisions if uh-huh. you're John Robinson, given the way the salary cap is and the cap hit for some of these guys next year. I'm interested to see how Zach Cunningham figures into this if he continues to play the way that he has so far.
Especially with the decision looming for Rashawn Evans, too.
Right. Like, I mean, I think he's pretty much gone at this point.
I think so, too. Like, out of all the guys in that group right now, wouldn't you say he's probably the first elimination you're making?
Probably so. Like, you know, if I had to hand pick an ideal duo at linebacker, it would be Cunningham and David Long Jr. I mean, that would be probably my two that I go with at inside linebacker. You've drafted Monty Rice. You know, he's going to be a part of the plans to some degree next year, I would assume. So I kind of feel like both Evans and Jayon Brown are pretty likely to be gone. Like, Jayon, I think, is a good player, although he had a stupid play last night that we've not really talked about yet today, where mm-hmm. you're just laying on top of the guy and you get flagged for unsportsmanlike on that play. Just
avoidable.
Really stupid play by Jayon Brown last night. But, you know, Jayon Brown's a really good player. The problem with Jayon Brown is, like, he can't stay on the field. He gets hurt all the time. Yeah. So I think the most likely scenario is both of those guys are gone. I just wonder, is it going to be a Zach Cunningham and David Long Jr. show next year, or is it going to be David Long Jr. and Monty Rice, and all three of those guys are gone? It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't like seeing all three of those guys gone. I would like to see David Long stay because how great he is in pass coverage. Like that, and that's his best asset. You know, you need guys like that in the modern NFL, where running backs are now really good passing threats. Most running backs are going to be using the passing game a lot. The tight end position is – you have some of the better athletes now at tight end than you've ever had in the history of the NFL. So having a linebacker who can play in coverage the way David Long can play in coverage is incredibly valuable. You know, there's not a lot of guys that can do that the same way David Long does. I'd really like to see him back. But and here's a really good point from an unnamed texter to the text line. So J-Rob brought in a pass rush. I credit J-Rob for improvements. And I agree with that. He should throw him in there, too. I mentioned Shane Bowen and Mike Vrabel. I think you should throw in J-Rob because he addressed the pass rush thing adequately. He brought in Bud Dupree, which isn't showing the dividends until now, at least, which is better late than never. And Danico Autry's been a monster all year long. You know, he's been really, really good in stopping the run and in the pass. Those were two really big additions to this team that I do think have a fundamental change to how this team has played on that side of the ball.
Well, it's all – at the end of the day, I mean, we can talk about coaching a lot, and certainly coaching is important. I don't think there's any question about it. It's still a players' league. It's still a personnel league. I mean, you've got to have the personnel to do it. And, I mean, just look at their pass rush this year. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons continues to take steps and improve as a player. Harold Landry's been really good this year. But bringing in guys like Danico Autry and Bud Dupree, I mean, it's just – you're talking about moves that look like they're starting to hit. Now, look, I mean, Bud Dupree is getting paid an insane amount of money. Like, I still think they have – they're probably overpaying Bud Dupree. I mean, he's got three sacks on the year. So I realize the game's more – it's more than sacks. And I think if you watch him out there, he's making a pretty significant impact on this defense. And – I would expect, as it kind of looks like the knee's healed at this point with him, and he's over the abdominal injury, I would assume as well. As he gets healthier and as he continues to play, I would expect that impact to continue to go up if you're Bud Dupree. But, you know, this is a personnel league, and right now the Titans personnel on defense is just – it's better than it was a year ago, significantly.
And that's the thing, too, is like, Bud Dupree, that contract is pretty big. It's a pretty steep number.
It is.
But that's the price of pass rush in this league, too. And you were in a position this offseason to be able to fork up money to get someone who's going to make that better. And even though he's only had three sacks, I feel like he's definitely made that pass rush better. And that was the one thing we talked about last year that kept the Titans from making a deep run, was that he couldn't get to the quarterback. Now, other problems have rise this year that were unforeseen coming into the season, like the injuries to Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown not being able to be on the field, Julio Jones, yada, yada, yada. Those are all very well documented. But the price that was paid, as steep as it was for Bud Dupree, I would say is definitely worth it right now, even though he's not gotten 15 sacks. I think it's helped made Harold Landry a lot better. And that's another situation that's going to be a tough one, too, when we get to the offseason, because he is also going to start demanding a high price tag because he has had an incredible season as well.
He has. And now here you are, if you're the Titans, you're in kind of wait and see mode this weekend with Indy taking on the Arizona Cardinals. If the Cardinals win that game, the Titans are AFC South champions for the second year in a row. So outside of that game, which everybody around here is going to be paying attention to, you've got Browns and Packers on Christmas Day as well. I mean, there's some fascinating matchups this weekend. You got the Bills, the Patriots, the Ravens, and the Bengals playing this weekend.
That's the fun one that I'm looking forward to. That could decide that division.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big game in the AFC picture. Look, I don't give Pittsburgh much of a chance to take down Kansas City, especially on the road this week.
I don't
but
either.
Hey, look. If we learned one thing about the NFL this year, it's when you expect things to go one way, they're probably going to go the other way.
It's definitely going the other way.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, this is the worst year for the 10-point spread maybe in the history of football.
Yeah.
I mean, so many of those upsets have happened this year. And, man, it would be the most Steelers thing, like the most 2021 Steelers thing to do, too. That offense is anemic. The defense isn't what it was last year. You can run on them. They still have T.J. Watt, who's a monster and is going to break every single sack record on the planet one day. But they're still 7-6-1. I don't know how, and I can't explain it. They tied with the Lions. Like I can't explain the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wish I could. They win games like the Titans game in which they're almost doubled in total yardage and still end up winning because the other team will cough up the ball four times. You know?
Yep.
I hate them.
Well, we're now also getting to the point where the bowl games starting to heat up a little bit in college football as well. I mean, you've got I mean, we're supposed to have Hawaii Bowl. That's not
happening. That
would
have been the only one tonight.
You've got Georgia State and Ball State tomorrow. That's going to be riveting to watch tomorrow.
Hey, Ball State, the fighting Bonzi Wellses.
That's right. Then you move into next week, and all of a sudden you've got some, I mean, Auburn, Houston's next week. Obviously, the Music City Bowl next week between Tennessee and Purdue. The Cheez-It Bowl, which I've hyped up for 2 weeks now between Clemson and Iowa State. Give me all the Cheez-It Bowl talk we can stand. And then, you know, the Alamo Bowl, Oklahoma, Oregon. We're starting to get into the fun time of year for college football as well, leading up to the playoff, which is next week.
What's your favorite non-week
from today,
BCS bowl?
Favorite non-BCS bowl?
Yeah. I know an outdated term, the BCS bowl, but like, what's your favorite irrelevant bowl game now?
I mean, I kind of like the Cheez-It Bowl based off the name. I mean, what I don't like the game played at Yankee Stadium, I think there's one at Fenway Park too.
There
like,
is this year.
Do away with that.
I went to the Yankee Stadium game, I think 5-6 years ago. It was a lot of fun.
Really?
I sat right next to Monument Park, like in the front row in center field, which was the corner of the end zone was like 10 feet in front of us. And the Fenway Bowl game this year, which is new, which our friend John Freeman will be announcing for Virginia against SMU.
Wahoo.
I don't know. Is this game sometime in the next week, I guess? It hasn't happened yet, right?
It has to be in the next week.
People are going to
day as the Pinstripe Bowl.
Okay, people are going to freak out about this game because it's new this year. The name is hilarious. It's sponsored by Wasabi.
I don't know
if that's a brand or just Wasabi in general, like the Wasabi version of Got Milk.
People
are going to go crazy because the two teams are using the same sideline.
Yeah.
It's going to be like soccer, both in front of the Green Monster because there's not enough room on the other side. So
just go play on a football field, man.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Give me fun stuff.
Like football teams sharing a sideline, like what can go wrong?
Like it just sometimes these things get overthought. Just go play a game.
I'm in the market
also,
for a
like
new
if you're a
bowl
game, like you're reward. Yeah, you get to go play in Boston or New York where it's going to be 15 degrees. That sounds like a ton of fun.
I'm in the market for a new favorite bowl game because I just found out last night when I got home from the Titans game that the Gasparilla Bowl is not at the Trop anymore.
Is it not?
It's tough.
They played it at the Bucks Stadium.
They did.
Ooh.
By the way.
Take away all the luster of that one so fast.
I know. Play at a cool random baseball stadium.
By the way, good win for the Gus Bus last night, taking down the Gators.
That's
UCF
right.
Gets it done in the Gasparilla Bowl.
Without Dylan Gabriel at quarterback, who's going to be at UCLA. Yeah, Florida's so laughably bad. Emory Jones transferring out. I saw they said that during the game. I obviously didn't watch that one. I didn't have much interest in it. But
well, I can't say that. I blame you.
Florida, man. Talk about a ship that sunk so fast. Yeah. I mean, we thought that this 1 year away from the Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts connection that was the most fun offense in college football, not named Alabama, to completely flailing out and losing to UCF in the Gasparilla Bowl with a fired head coach. It's amazing how fast that program just went away.
You're going to be sitting around on Saturday like Rex Road, like drooling over yourself for NBA on Christmas Day?
Depending on who plays. Like, I don't want to watch the Hawks without Trae Young, you know. I'm really interested because as of now, knock on wood, as I knock on every bit of wood that's in this studio, that Suns and Warriors both have all their players relatively healthy. I think Jordan Poole won't be available for the Warriors. Andrew Wiggins might not be available for the Warriors because he'll still be in protocol. But that's the best game of the day. You know, those are the two best teams in the entire league. You have the potential MVP and Steph Curry playing against the best team in the league right now, the Suns. That's going to be fun. Every year, it's a tradition I watch. I'm a Laker fan, so every year I watch Lakers on Christmas. It's one of my favorite Christmas traditions. So even though they are the most unwatchable team in the NBA right now, I will watch them get beat by the Brooklyn Nets and James Harden by himself.
Very nice. So. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a wild weekend of sports on Christmas Day. See what happens. Big games coming up this weekend, both in the NBA and the NFL as well. Joe Rexrod will be back on Monday to help us break it down. Elijah? It's been fun, man. Appreciate you joining me today.
Robbie, it's an honor. Scholar and a gentleman.
One out of two ain't bad. Well, I'll let you decide which one of those two it is. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got a special edition of Stillman & Company coming up next. They're on from 12 to 4 today, so make sure you keep that in mind. A little bit of an earlier start for Stillman & Company. That's coming up next. Hope everybody has a Merry Christmas. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.